What if I told you that scientists can now predict a child's future intelligence, personality traits, and mental health risks from a simple DNA sample? This isn't a dystopian fantasy. It's happening right now. For decades, we've operated under a comforting assumption. We are what we learn, shaped by parents, teachers, and experiences. But groundbreaking research in behavioral genetics reveals something far more complex and controversial. DNA accounts for roughly 50% of the psychological differences between us, not just our eye color or height, but our intelligence, personality, even our political leanings. This discovery has ignited fierce debates in education, parenting, and policy circles, forcing us to rethink everything we thought we knew about human potential and equality. For most of the 20th century, psychology embraced environmental determinism. B.F. Skinner claimed he could mold any infant into any profession. Parents, schools, and neighborhoods were seen as the architects of who we become. But twin and adoption studies dismantled this worldview. When identical twins raised apart, finish each other's sentences, choose the same careers, or marry people with similar names, genetics cannot be ignored. The evidence is staggering. Virtually all psychological traits show significant genetic influence, typically around 50%. This applies to personality, intelligence, mental health, life satisfaction, and even political beliefs. In psychology research, explaining 10% of variance is impressive. Genetic influence at 50% is enormous. Most surprising, what we consider environmental often shows genetic influence. We actively select and create environments matching our genetic propensities. A verbally talented child seeks books and debates. An athletic teenager joins sports teams. Our genes shape how we interact with the world, creating gene-environment correlation. This isn't genetic determinism. It's understanding how genetic inclinations guide our life experiences. How do researchers determine genetic influence? Twin studies provide the most powerful method. Identical twins share 100% of their DNA, while fraternal twins share about 50%. By comparing similarities between these twin types, researchers calculate heritability, the proportion of differences attributable to genetics. If identical twins correlate at 0.84 for body weight, while fraternal twins correlate at 0.55, this difference suggests substantial genetic influence. Adoption studies offer another approach. When adopted children resemble biological parents more than adoptive parents, genetics is clearly at work. The Colorado Adoption Project found adopted children's weight had zero correlation with adoptive parents, but correlated 0.3 with birth mothers. Critically, heritability doesn't mean immutability. Height is 90% heritable, yet average height has increased substantially due to improved nutrition. Heritability reveals sources of individual differences in a particular population at a particular time, not what's fixed or changeable. Here's the counterintuitive part. DNA's influence on psychological traits actually increases as we age. For intelligence, heritability rises from about 20% in infancy to 60% in adulthood, potentially reaching 80% by age 65. As we mature, we gain freedom to select environments aligning with our genetic propensities. A child who enjoys reading seeks out libraries, developing verbal abilities. An athletic teenager joins sports teams, enhancing physical capabilities. Through these choices, we actively shape environments matching our genetic inclinations, what researchers call genetic amplification. Each choice builds upon previous ones, creating cascades of experiences that enhance original predispositions. School achievement shows consistent heritability of about 60%, possibly because universal education reduces environmental disparities. While all students receive similar instruction, those with natural mathematical abilities might join math clubs or seek advanced problems, further developing their talents. This challenges educational approaches treating all children as blank slates. Instead, it suggests providing diverse opportunities and supporting children in following their natural inclinations while ensuring foundational skills. We don't just respond to environments, we seek them out, modify them, and create new ones matching our genetic propensities. Genetic research reveals that abnormal disorders are quantitative extremes of normal variation. DNA differences influencing reading ability throughout the population also affect those with reading disabilities. Genes affecting phonological processing operate along a spectrum from poor to excellent readers, not just in dyslexia. This pattern appears across psychological traits. The FTO gene associated with obesity relates to weight differences across the entire spectrum. Similarly, genes linked to attention span work identically in people with and without ADHD diagnoses. Unlike rare single-gene disorders like Huntington's disease, common psychological traits are influenced by thousands of DNA differences, each with small effects. For anxiety, research has identified over 400 genetic variants. None alone determines whether someone develops an anxiety disorder. The average person might have 500 of 1,000 depression-related DNA variants, while those diagnosed simply have more. Someone with severe depression might have 700 variants, while someone with mild symptoms has 600. This creates a smooth continuum rather than distinct categories. The genetic evidence leads to a profound conclusion. There are no qualitative disorders, only quantitative dimensions. This dimensional view explains why comorbidity is so common. If disorders are extremes of normal distributions, and the same genetic factors influence multiple traits, then someone extreme on one dimension will often be extreme on others. After decades of twin studies, genome sequencing enabled genome-wide association studies. Early efforts disappointed. Researchers expected a few genes with large effects, but reality proved far more complex. Breakthrough came when large collaborations pooled data from thousands of participants, revealing that psychological traits are influenced by thousands of DNA differences, each with tiny individual effects. For most traits, the largest genetic effects raise risk by only 0.2%, requiring enormous sample sizes to detect. Recent studies with hundreds of thousands of participants identified hundreds of associations for intelligence, educational attainment, and personality. Aggregating these into polygenic scores offers powerful prediction capabilities, functioning like psychological questionnaires that sum effects of many genetic variants. Polygenic scores offer unique advantages. They're causal, remain unchanged throughout life, and predict differences between siblings. For educational attainment, children in the highest score decile average a full grade higher than those in the lowest, with 70% versus 32% university attendance. As these scores improve, they promise to transform clinical psychology by identifying problems based on causes rather than symptoms, shifting from categorical diagnoses to continuous dimensions, enabling individually tailored treatments and promoting positive genomics, exploring strengths and resilience rather than just problems. Higher heritability of outcomes paradoxically signals greater equality of opportunity. When environmental biases diminish, remaining differences reflect genetics. The correlation between parents' socioeconomic status and children's outcomes largely reflects genetic resemblance, not just environmental privilege. Genetic differences create inherent inequality, producing achievement gaps even with identical teaching. But recognizing genetic influence doesn't require fatalism. We can beat genetic odds and choose to value diverse abilities rather than just high-status ones. Self-selection means listening to genetic whispers about personality and interests, potentially choosing enjoyable work over high income. Genetics won't create rigid social castes. Parents and offspring share only 50% of genes, creating wide ability ranges within families. This genetic reshuffling prevents rigid hierarchies. While genetics shows how DNA shapes us, policies should be guided by values, not genetic findings. A just society acknowledges genetic differences while ensuring reasonable living standards for all jobs, regardless of merit. In recognizing what makes us different, we might finally embrace what makes us equal, our fundamental worth as human beings.